In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Crack open a can of Beat Breaker Double IPA and take a bold, hoppy break. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
Oh, it's the second hour of the radio program here, Dirt and Sprague, on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan. We had to move it up a half hour because our next guest is so kind to join us. If you're just tuning in, welcome into the second hour. Dirt is two dogs into his six dogs in 3 hours quest.
We've brought the electric skillet in, by the way. It's in the studio now.
We will warm up these hot dogs in the studio. And, yes. We'll just deal with the consequences of what happens and is said over the airwaves. But before we bring on our guest, Ryan Monso of GoCougs.com, Dirt, our fine friends at Pelican, always helping us out.
Look, the only thing that would go better than six hot dogs in the morning is if you combined a couple of Pelicans with it. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. Today's Daily Ticker, as always, brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company. With the return of warmer weather, Pelican Brewing brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see.
Well, and I'm excited because Ryan Monso does great work at GoCougs.com, and he joins us now. Ryan, good morning. Thanks for hopping on with us and agreeing to come on to the radio program. We know it's a busy week for you guys over there, getting ready for a Final Four, a much-anticipated Final Four with all number one seeds. I want to quickly start here. I forgot because I'm one of these people that, like, I go in and out of college basketball and then the tournament's here and I'm all in. I forgot that Duke eliminated them last year in the NCAA tournament. So how much that's weighing on the minds of Houston Cougar fans everywhere of trying to get revenge from last year's tournament.
I really don't know that it's weighing on anyone. I mean, it's obviously a story, but U of H led in that game before Jamal Shedd went down. Shedd was the Big 12 Player of the Year, National Defensive Player of the Year, in the NBA now with the Toronto Raptors. He goes down with a severely twisted ankle, couldn't come back, and Duke surges ahead and wins the game. I don't think fans are really focused on that because this U of H team looks so much different than that one, but also Duke does too. And so it's the two names on the front of the jerseys are the same, but the two teams really aren't. And this run for Houston fans has been so incredible. They're 30-1 in the last 31 games.
Jeez.
And have gone to Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse, won the Big 12 by 4 games, the Big 12 tournament, run through a regional. Purdue and Tennessee basically played home games, and U of H got the best of both.
It's interesting because I saw the Jim Nance comments, who's obviously connected to the program and has been for a long time after they won the Elite Eight, and he said, I think what the fan base loves about this team is that they're, you know, kind of a throwback to college basketball. There's so much talk about the portal and guys jumping around and moving to different teams. Does that help kind of make this city fall in love with this team? Not this city's had a great history of college basketball, but does that help the fan base a little bit? And how much does that help them in the Final Four of having maybe a slightly more connected group who's been around a little bit longer than some of the other teams are dealing with?
It certainly helps the fans connect more. Juwan Roberts is a sixth-year player in this program. I'm going to tell you, I think he's 40. I mean, he's that old. And if they win the next 2 games, he gets to 150 college wins. That's how long he's been around. And, I mean, that's a long time. Emmanuel Sharp is in that same boat. There's just guys that have been here and have built this program, and you've seen them develop from, like, 3 stars, why were they recruiting this guy, to they're starring on the very biggest stage. And it certainly is helping the fans connect because of how things work. They get more access to these players than maybe a Duke fan would. And so that also helps. It's just remarkable to see that everybody around the country thinks that your program or your team is going to be different every year, and that it's going to be the highest dollar. Well, this Houston program proved that's not always the case. Is if you build something with family and with a bond between your players, they're also getting paid. They're getting their NIL. You can still do it that way. And Jim Nance has a lifeline into this program that very few have. And it's fun to see him, who's so very professional and neutral in everything else he does, become just a total fanboy when he's talking about U of H basketball.
Well, Ryan Monso is our guest, GoCougs.com. You say professional. My co-host is currently scarfing down a hot dog at 7 a.m. West Coast time. So I want to ask you, because you're going to be
it's
at the final.
Right?
It's his third. Well, yeah, he's going on his third one right here. So, Ryan, people are going to be at this Final Four. They're going to want to eat a hot dog at some point at this basketball game. Ryan Monso puts what on his hot dog?
Oh, boy. So here's I don't eat the wiener. I just don't like the wiener. I like the rest. We call it a chili boat. So it's a bun, heated, toasted, mustard, chili, cheese, and onions.
With no hot dog.
No wiener, yeah.
No wiener. Hold the wiener.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That might be the best drop that anybody's ever given our show.
That was fantastic.
I can't thank you enough for that. That's wonderful. Speaking of that,
now you're going to choke on a hot dog.
I might choke after that comment. I might choke on a hot dog. What? How big of a fan impact is there going to be being in San Antonio? Like,
the home court advantage.
The home court advantage stuff. I know Duke travels really well. I mean, all these programs will, right? Florida's won two national titles, and Auburn's been great. But having it in the state, is that an actual impact, or are we overinflating that in our minds?
So last year, the Duke and Houston game was in Dallas, in the Mavs Arena. So you saw it last year that Duke brought a ton of people, and they'll do it again this year. They're just never going to be at a disadvantage. U of H will have a large segment in San Antonio. They played a second weekend in San Antonio 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and lost an Elite Eight game to Villanova. But there were a ton of U of H fans. This, I think, it'll be noticeable, but because of big fan bases with Auburn and Florida and Duke, maybe not as much as you would normally see.
Mm. Ryan, I want to ask you about the matchup here. Ryan Monso is our guest here for the Daily Ticker. GoCougs.com is where you can find his great work. He is a no-wiener man, but he's all about the Houston Cougars right now, who are in the Final Four. You say it's a different team. So last year, whatever, this year, different makeup. Duke's completely restarted their roster, and they've got the guy of guys, right? They got the number one pick in the NBA draft. The dude looks just generational. He has lived up to the hype. They look like an absolute wagon of a team. I hate Duke. I hate Duke to my core. I will be rooting for Houston in every possible way when these two teams tip it off. But I will also say out loud, Duke does look like the best team. However, Houston's athletic and length of their front court, how under-talked about do you think that is in this matchup, particular with Cooper Flagg and what Duke has done down low?
Well, if you look at the national media, it sounds like there's three teams playing in this Final Four because Houston is completely overlooked. And I think these players have gotten so used to that they've turned it into kind of a badge of honor. Like, we're going to come out and show you why you should have been talking about us. Duke, as a roster, way better than Houston as a roster. And they just have better players. But there is something to be said for a team made up of guys who focus on winning and focus on, we don't care about stats. Let's get each person, let's get the right shot. Let's get the right play. The defensive tenacity, if you haven't watched Houston, it's just different. You can't explain it. Coaches say that, we practice with six or seven guys on defense to give our offense the look. And that's where if U of H is going to win the game, they have to do it, is just overwhelm Cooper Flagg. He had some struggles early in the year with certain athletic defenders.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to face three guys this Saturday that perhaps he hasn't seen. And they turned a number two seed, Tennessee, into what looked like a play-in game team. Tennessee went 1-16 from three in the first half, scored 15 points in the first half, which is the lowest in history, I believe, for a two seed. This U of H team, they're not flashy, but they do have the ability. And Kelvin, let's be clear, Kelvin Sampson is one of the best minds in college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
He is so good and so experienced. He's got an NBA pedigree, Team USA background. So he's kind of seen it all. And, you know, I think this is Duke's game to lose, but you can't count out Kelvin Sampson.
No, you can't for sure. Good stuff. Ryan Monso of GoCougs.com with a preview of Houston against Duke, a rematch from last year in the Sweet 16. We got him in the Final Four. I agree. Houston kind of flying under the radar here. Duke looks great, but we'll see what Kelvin Sampson and the Houston Cougars have to say against Cooper Flagg and Duke this week. And thanks so much for hopping on this morning, Ryan. A no-wiener man, that's good to know, and enjoy the Final Four.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all, guys.
All right, there we go. Ryan Monso, GoCougs.com. He says, hold the wiener.
No wiener for Ryan. No wiener for him.
He's a no wiener man.
No wiener man. I mean, respect that.
He wants chili on a toasted bun with some cheese and some mustard.
I don't eat the wiener.
I thought he was still on, and I'm like, oh my God, you didn't hang up. All right. Well, that was that.
If we don't get an award for me heating hot dogs on an electric skillet, by the way, just like throwing the entire thing on, which was a horrible idea. I don't know what I was doing.
What do you mean?
We're live on the
air. Why did you throw the bun in there?
I know. It was a bad idea, and then it backfired on me. I should have just thrown the meat on there, and then I'm panicking, and then I couldn't get it off. We're live. I got to ask a question.
Toasted
I'm next up.
Bun? Submitting this segment for a Marconi.
And then as I'm doing this, eating a hot dog in the middle of the interview, this guy says I don't like wieners.
I don't eat the wiener.
Just, if that doesn't win an award, what else can we do? If that doesn't take us from the 19th ranked mid-market local morning show.
That doesn't break the top 15.
If that doesn't break the top, nothing will break the top 15.
I question.
I quit. I give up.
Exactly. Much like
walking out the door.
Much like the Jets owner, I question the validity of your survey.
Thank you.
These are fair points. You're also eating a hot dog during a radio interview.
Dude, I could choke down six of those easily.
I don't eat the wiener.
I told you I had to do some damage during the interview because I don't want to have food in my mouth the entire segment.
You're cooking and eating, and we're doing
and interviewing. Don't tell me I can't.
I'm gonna
clip this and send it to my wife. Say, don't tell me I can't multitask. Okay, I'm eating a hot dog, cooking a hot dog, and doing an interview at the same time, and doing a read for our lovely friends at Pelican Brewing because the Daily Ticker, as always, is brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company. With the return of warmer weather, do you know it's right around the corner? Pelican Brewing brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see.
The Blazers won yesterday. They beat the Atlanta Hawks. I had an epiphany cleaning up my dog's crap. I'll tell you what it was. Blazer related next on The Fan. Well, well, well. Your beloved Trailblazers getting a big road victory, 127-113 in the ATL.
Still mathematically alive. 3.5 out with 6 to go.
No, they're not. That's over.
So stupid.
If the math is less than 2%, that's not real math. That's fake math that we're saying, mathematically still alive. No, it's over. It's done. But they get a win nonetheless.
The problem is they're going to pass the Suns. That's the problem.
The Spurs lost last night to the Magic.
You're not catching them.
Nope, that ship has sailed, basically.
You're probably about where you're going to end up, because Chicago is just going to keep going up and down. They're going to win, they're going to lose.
Well, they're in the play-in, so they're actually trying to tune up.
Yeah, right.
Same thing with the Heat.
But the Blazers win. Shaedon Sharpe has 33 points last night. He's a plus 23.
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. None of it matters.
10 rebounds.
None of it matters.
Have another hot dog.
Jeez. Jeez. None of it matters.
Shove that down the hole.
None of it matters. Why don't you get your dog poop analogy? Because that's what this organization is.
I don't eat the wiener.
Swag lost it when he said
I don't eat the wiener.
That one just came out of nowhere.
Just had a total left field.
I told Swag we couldn't have paid.
No, and the delivery was great. He took that little he did. Will Shatner pause.
He totally got the show in the moment. Yeah. I was like, I wonder if this question's going to sit with him or he's going to go, I don't know.
What the hell are you guys talking about eating hot dogs at 7 o'clock in the morning? What's the matter with you?
I don't eat the wiener.
He made that abundantly clear.
I mean, you could have said, hey, we'll Venmo you $20 before we bring. We're going
to
ask you about eating hot dogs.
You
can you say something funny?
Some Pelicans.
I mean, send that guy something, man. Get him something.
No, so I'm going on a walk the other day. This is 2 days ago. So they hadn't beaten the Hawks yet. And it was their off game. I'm going on a dog walk. And I'm just thinking of all kinds of... I'm always thinking about the show. I'm thinking of different sports things. I'm thinking about beloved Blazers. I'm like, you know, what have we done Blazers in the last week or so that isn't just the obvious, like, oh, well, tank. And I tend to lean that, like, I don't think most people care about the wins. So, like, talking about how they won also is not something that's particularly interesting to people.
No, because it doesn't mean anything.
We know Denny's been great.
Yes.
You know, his contract's really good.
He's got a really good contract.
It's team friendly.
I've said this for 2 weeks now. This guy, we got to get this guy out of the lineup.
I don't know if you've
heard
this
good.
Term.
Get him out.
De-escalating contract.
He's got it. It goes down.
It goes
You're
down.
You're saving money as the time goes on. Get him the hell out of the lineup.
Also,
it's becoming a problem.
In case you don't know, Tamani Kamara can play defense, and he's been good this year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I was thinking, because we had a, I can't remember what it was, but we were basically asking, oh, we brought Dylan Harper up.
Yes.
Dylan Harper is going to be probably the 2 pick in the draft. He's declared already. He gone. And if the lottery gods bless us, they're not going to bless us with one. They're going to bless us within the top 3 or 4. Okay? That's what our blessing will be. Statistically speaking, we're not probably getting one. But in the 2-3-4 range, boy, that'd be great.
Yeah. The odds of 2-3-4 took a massive hit last night.
And
but
I
digress.
I cited a Blazer Edge article that said if Dylan Harper's 2 and you're 2, you take Dylan Harper and you don't worry about Scoot and you say bye-bye, Scoot. And I started thinking about that and I'm like, what's the take? And then like, Scoot, Shaden. Kind of like, what's going to be our takeaways of year 3 for Shaden, year 2 for Scoot, how we feel about the future with 2 of these picks. In the Cronin era, you've got Scoot, Shea, Klingon.
Yep. Those are your 3 top 10 picks.
Those are your 3 picks in the Cronin era. And so while I also find people comical that tell me, oh, they move off of Scoot, no problem. In the same breath, you're telling me the guy who took him 3 made a massive mistake, but you also trust the guy to take the next pick in the top. It's just a weird
this
world.
This time it'll be different.
Yeah, you can't swing and hit on
this
all of them.
This time it'll work out.
I don't know where they'll go, but one thing I had a takeaway on is Shaden at this point, believe it or not, should still be looked at with all of the upside. No matter what you think of his ceiling and what that is, baby Kobe or not, it's interesting to think about Shaden Sharp because it's his 3rd year of basketball. Quite literally.
Yeah.
High school. Who cares? Most of these dudes play high. All these dudes were elite in high school. He didn't play a lick of college.
Nope.
So, like, year 2, he gets hurt. He plays, what, 31 games?
He played 32 games last year.
It's his second and a half season of basketball. Like, basketball. Like, real organized basketball. Because I would venture to say when he played at high school, wherever he played, he probably just... Hey, Shaden, here's the ball.
Here's
go
the ball.
Be great.
Do your thing.
Go dominate. And he dominated every game.
There was probably no real massive structure because if I coached him in high school, I wouldn't have a million plays. I'd be like, let's give Shaden the ball.
You want a ball screen or you want an ISO?
Throw it up. He'll catch it.
Yeah.
That's the offense. So it's just
playing against guys like me.
I'm picking up dog crap and I'm starting to, for some reason, feel optimistic. I don't know if they'll draft Edgecombe. Maybe they're 5th. Do they draft VJ Edgecombe? Because they're quite literally the same player. One's just slightly younger now.
Yeah, I love how in your mind head, too, is that we're going up in the draft lottery with the 9th best odds that if we end up with the 5th overall pick.
What would happen if we moved up? You've got Harper, you've got Edgecombe. Both players we've seen in the tournament.
Yeah.
Well, one player we saw in the tournament, the other player we watched all season long
all season
on a
long.
Mediocre Rutgers team.
He was really good.
But he was the only good thing about it, him and Ace Bailey.
Yep.
And there's just a world that exists where we don't win the flag sweepstakes, but do we win the Harper Edgecombe sweepstakes? And you can say, Sprague, you just take the best player and you figure it out. And I don't disagree with it. But you also have to acknowledge it's very odd because you draft Edgecombe. He is Shaden's position.
Yeah,
there's
the
no
thing.
If, ands, or buts about it.
It's the same thing.
You draft Harper, that's Scoot's position. No if, ands, or buts about it. You want to try to sell this fan base on another backcourt that's like, what is Harper, 6'5"?
Yeah, that
6'4"?
Sounds right. That sounds right.
Slightly taller, but small backcourt. You want to sell this fan base on that again? My good lucks to you, sir, in that organization. You're in a position where you might have to draft replacements already, which it's very weird to think about it, but this is only year two and a half for Shaden.
Yeah, the NBA draft website I just pulled up has him listed at 6'6", 215.
That's
Dylan
right,
Harper.
Slightly bigger.
6'6", 215.
So maybe so you tell bigger. Yourself, we're good because he's 6'6", well, and I'm like, well, he needs the ball. What's Scoot going to do?
The funny thing about this entire analogy is you're ruling out the other guy who they just have refused to trade, and at this point I am assuming he's going to play every game of his career in a Blazer uniform, and that's Anfernee Simons. Is he still on the team next year? Are we ever going to trade
him?
Well,
he needs to be traded, or you give him an extension. It's kind of where you're at.
Let's draft Dylan Harper, keep Scoot, keep Shaden, and give Anfernee Simons an extension. This sounds like a wonderful offseason that I now think is probably going to happen if they move up in the draft. Like, look, the point on Shaden Sharpe is not wrong. He still has a ton of upside. He is in his third year of professional basketball. He is only 21 years old. He's about to turn 22. I think he turns 22 in May. So by the time the season wraps up, he'll basically be 22 years old. Still incredibly young. I don't know if there's enough there to make you, and this is true with Scoot as well, that tells me that you're not going to draft a certain player because you have Shaden Sharpe or Scoot Henderson on your team. And that is why I think all of this has been so frustrating throughout the course of the year. He's played 68 games this year. It's great that he's played 68 games. Last year was only 32. He's only started 48 of them. Mm-hmm. His minutes per game are down in year three from where they were in year two. He's playing fewer minutes and gotten fewer percentage of starts.
More of a sample size in year three than two because
sure,
of the game.
Because he's played more games, no doubt about it. He's also shooting 30% from three.
Yeah, he's had a bad year from three, no doubt. He was 3 of 10 last night.
Points per game are up. I love that he's getting to the foul line a little bit more. Mm-hmm. There's little positives. His field goal percentage is up from where it was last year. Like, there's little things that you can pick and point and lean on. He's a shooting guard who's shooting 30% from three.
Yeah.
And so neither of these guys have shown me enough to say I refuse to take insert player here in the draft.
I'm not saying you refuse, but what do you do? Because you're going to trade Scoot?
I mean, I would hope that Anfernee Simons would no longer be on the team. You're already bringing Scoot off the bench. You brought Shaden off the bench for the majority of his year this year.
Harper, don't let a single human being that exists breathing oxygen try to tell you that Dylan Harper should be starting off the bench. Dylan Harper should be starting for any team that picks him next year.
So should Shaden. So should Scoot. Scoot was a top three pick in the NBA draft. And they started him to begin his NBA career. Yeah. And then in his second year in the NBA, they're bringing him off the bench.
I don't disagree with you, but even if you believe in the theory of just take the best player, and I do, I'm one of those people. I was wondering how much growth Shaden can take, given this is only his second and a half season of actual organized basketball in his life.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you fall and Edgecombe is at your spot, I mean, he's supposed to be an elite wing. You draft him, then what do you? Then Edgecombe is just your fifth pick in the draft that's coming off the bench.
I mean, that's what they've done the last 2 years with their top 10 picks, so he would fit right into the mold.
Boy, it's fascinating.
Donovan Klingon was a 7th overall pick. He couldn't play more than 12 minutes a game for the first three months of the year. Third string center to begin the year. I think if they bring these guys off the bench who they draft in the top 10, it would fit right in with the vision and what they've had the last couple of years. That's an unclear picture that doesn't make any sense. And last night was a night for me where I get that debate gets tiring and the winning and the losing. And mm-hmm. I understand it. These ones are inexcusable. They're inexcusable. To continue to play Denny Avdia late in the season when you know he's on a tear and he's going to help you win a couple of more games.
Your coach don't want to lose games anymore.
It doesn't matter. You have.
I mean, it does. That's,
Fire him then.
They're not going to.
Then why won't they?
Because they're not the Grizzlies.
Exactly. They don't care long term. These are inexcusable, man. These games literally don't matter. You know what? There's a big jump in percentage odds. The 9th worst team to the 8th worst team. There's a massive jump in top 4 odds. And you can basically kiss any chance of that goodbye after winning that game last night and San Antonio losing. For what reason? I'm going to ask the question this summer. I'm going to mark it in my calendar for a random show in July.
You need to wait for the lottery odds.
And I'm going
to
say, hey, who do they beat with 7 games to go in the regular season? You remember who they beat? You remember who played well in that game? Nobody's going to have an answer for me. Because none of this matters. None of this matters. What matters is a superstar player, and you have a better chance of getting one in the top 4, and you can basically kiss those odds goodbye.
We got a FUP date we'll get to. to an hour from now. We got Statter Story to get to at 8:15. Jerry Jones says this guy doesn't matter. I would argue that he does. So that was a weird comment to make in very Jerry Jones-like fashion. The Steelers owner says Aaron Rodgers is coming. Just hasn't...
Whenever.
He hasn't come yet, but he's coming.
I don't eat the wiener.
Dude, I could choke down six of those easily.
So... we've got that. Aaron Rodgers coming. We'll get to that coming up as well. Dirt and Sprague back with more.
All right, welcome back in. Four hot dogs down, two to go.
People are demanding mustard. You're just raw dogging over here.
We're raw dogging over here. Yeah. We're raw dogging.
No toppings.
Enjoy this comment on YouTube. Well, my Lord, I've never heard anyone whine about winning in all my life. Well, let's take a gander at this, shall we?
Okay.
So right now, the Blazers have the ninth worst record in the NBA.
That would be correct, Bob.
That would be correct. So if you have the ninth worst record in the NBA, which you were all but certain to finish in now at this point, you're a game and a half behind or ahead, depending on how you want to define it, the San Antonio Spurs. Probably not going to move down any further. That's likely where you're going to end up. History will tell us with the ninth worst record, you're likely going to end up right around the ninth overall pick in the draft. Very little chance of movement.
I'm be curious to see what the reaction, not to interrupt you there, is.
Yeah.
If they literally stay exactly where they're at in the draft odds, because the sense I get from people that might be echoing that sentiment about you getting mad about wins, I think they're living in a world where they enjoy watching the team win, but also they're telling themselves they're going to be up in the lottery at the top. And it's just going to be, is there going to be a, oh my God, the ninth pick? Like, I just wonder if there's, not that, I totally get it. I hear people say, like, you
I don't think they understand how many teams are truly crappy in the East.
Well, I just, like, what is the reaction going to be, I guess, from the fans that are happy and cool with the wins if you stay at nine? Is it going to be, oh, my God, I thought minimum we'd get to six.
Wait, hey, wait a minute. I thought we'd have a top seven pick at least.
No. And if we win it, then cool. But
then
I just,
you start looking at the draft projections and all those sorts of things. It's like,
is that guy that's projected to be in that range going to change your franchise, like, fundamentally?
So here are the odds right now. If you end up with the ninth worst record, which is where they're at, you have a 4.5% chance at the number one overall pick.
Not great.
You have a 4.8% chance at the number two pick, a 5.2% chance at the number three pick, or a 5.7% chance at the number four pick. Those are your chances. You have a 50.7% chance to end up with the ninth pick in the draft. So it's basically a flip of the coin that you stay exactly where you are. There is a 25% chance that you move back a pick and you end up drafting 10th. There is a 3% chance you end up drafting 11th. So there is just as much of a chance you end up with the 11th overall pick, essentially, as the number one overall pick in the draft. This is where I just chuckle at this notion. This team has been better than we imagined this year, largely because they held on to veterans and didn't get rid of them when many of us said going into the year you should have. Here is just I'm just going to pull up a random mock draft. Here are the names. How many of these move your needle? Projected 6th overall pick, Jeremiah Fears, point guard from Oklahoma.
Well, you don't need that.
Okay. How do you say the Duke center's name? Malik? How do you say his last name?
Malawach.
Malawach. Duke center, number 7. Projected.
I talked about Malawach with some people that
you take centers and back-to-back top 10 picks.
He's like a half of a Clinton Capella to me, Clint Capella, and I just like, that doesn't do anything for the Blazers.
I think you go back-to-back centers with your top 10 picks. Trey Johnson, shooting guard from Texas, 8th overall. I will continue. Jace Richardson, the shooting guard from Michigan State. That's
athletic,
who in this mock literally is mocked to Portland in this draft.
Kind of so. Carried Michigan State, but again, you kind of have to ask yourself.
6'3", 185 guard.
Yeah.
Con Knipple, 10th to
really
Miami.
Good, though, wasn't he?
His dad was awesome.
God, he had a great dunker.
His dad was awesome. Con Knipple.
Con Knipple's a good guy. He is not a franchise carrying player to me. He is a Joe Ingles,
yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, maybe that's a little disrespectful, but like, he's an athletic.
Joe Ingles has had a good career.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, he kind of does a lot of things for your team. He's going to do whatever it takes, I think, when he's out there.
I love that we have to be like that. Mocks can be disrespectful of good players. I saw this in the NFL the other day where somebody mocked Shador to Andy Dalton, and people were like, "How dare you do that, man?" Andy Dalton. I mean,
I've seen Kirk Cousins comps with Shador, and I'm like, that's...
I mean, that's not a bad
most
career.
Teams would sign up for Kirk Cousins.
He's been a starting-level quarterback. Yeah. He's been in the league for 10 years. He's made a lot of money. Like, is it not everybody's going to be Patrick Mahomes? 11 is Colin Murray-Boyles, the power forward from South Carolina.
Can't pretend to act like I watched a whole lot of his games.
Some name I can't pronounce of a point guard from Illinois. Kasparis.
Oh, that's the tall kid. That's the 6'6 kid. That kid I get excited about.
That's the 6'6 kid from Illinois.
It's kind of another Denny.
12th. Okay.
It's kind of another Denny. It's a ball handling kind of combo guard.
Okay.
You know, I don't know what his ceiling will be in the NBA, but it's somebody I've seen a little bit, yeah.
An international kid from France, who I can't pronounce his name, 6'9", projected to go 13th. Asa Newell from Georgia, projected to go
14th. Not as high
14th.
On Asa Newell.
6'11", power forward. Like, this is the larger
Derek
point.
Queen.
Derek Queen might have been a little bit higher in this mock. I'll see. I just started at 6, because I don't think you're going to end up with a pick higher than that.
I think we get your point.
This is my point. Yeah. Is that if you want to, Derek Queen, by the way, they haven't projected 5th in this mock. So every mock's going to be different. He might be there available. Yep. But again, that's a power forward center. Are you going to go back-to-back years power forward center with Donovan Clingan?
Well, you would if you had the number one pick. You'd take a power forward.
Yeah, but I don't view Cooper Flagg as, I know he will play power forward in the NBA because of his size. I don't view him as a, I don't know.
You're talking about Derek Queen, post up in the post, an old school throwback.
I view Cooper
Flagg
as a positionless star of a guy that's like, you're LeBron, you're 6'9", but you can run the point. He's not a traditional power forward, if you will. Now, the league is trending away from that, and if Jeremy Grant's still on the roster next year, right? So
probably.
This is my point about bemoaning wins, is that your way and your path out of this is with one of these guys likely near the top. Dylan Harper, Cooper Flagg, look in the top four. Edgecombe, who's projected at 3 in this. Ace Bailey, who's projected 4.
I think you can probably look. It'd be interesting to go look at the Mike Schmidt's picks since he became one of the assistant general managers here. This is just a theory. There could be no validity to this. My read of the situation in Portland is I feel like a lot of the player stuff, Mike Schmidt's driven. That Joe trusts him immensely with that talent evaluation. And so you just have to look at the draft. You look at right around where they're hovering, and you have to ask yourself who fits the criteria or the kind of talent that a Schmitz likes. Now, you could say, well, Sprague, it's all over the place based on this guy and that guy. No doubt. But where you're at and what the mocks are saying, who kind of falls into it? You mentioned the kid from Illinois.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Mike Schmitz had a video on Denny Avdia in the draft. Loved him.
He did.
Look,
they
who traded
for
Denny Avdia.
Yeah, they went and found him.
And that kid is got a little bit of that stuff. Now, he's not quite as tall as Denny. What is he, 6'6 listed?
Yeah, I think he's listed at 6'6.
But I think you look at where you think Mike Schmitz would be looking, because that's, I think, where all of that's going
to
reside.
Yeah, I just, you know, look, you want to be the fan that wants to cheer for wins. We've had this debate a million times. I'm not gonna back off of this take, and I think in the long run I'll end up being proven right, but time will tell. Maybe we shock the world and have
the
ninth.
We win the draft, and then we tell you who that seventh.
Tell we have the ninth worst odds, and then, hey, look at that. We won the number one overall pick with our 4% chance. Massive difference, by the way. San Antonio has nearly double the odds at the, almost, not double, but almost double, the number one pick, number two pick, number three pick, and number four pick.
And they're one slot ahead of you?
And they're one slot ahead of you. They also have a 35% chance of the number eight pick. So, you know.
If the NBA wanted to fix it, man, Cooper Flagg with Wemby would be electric.
It'd be unbelievable. And look, we can debate the system and whether this is right or wrong, and I totally understand that. Your take earlier this week about get rid of this lottery crap and just have it be you're not in the playoffs, you have the same percentage chance. Mm-hmm. I'm all for that. Mm-hmm. But these are the rules. This is the system. And to not play by them, to me, is incredibly short-sighted and incredibly foolish. Let's dive into a couple of NFL notes, leftovers from yesterday. And then we got a update coming up. We got Saturday Story coming up in the final hour. Back after this on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. Out of respect for Crunch, I will not be eating a hot dog during this segment. I got two more to go. We're going to save them. Save them for the final hour of the show.
Yeah, because the audio doesn't exist prior to Crunch Time.
No, it doesn't. I haven't eaten any hot dogs on the show today. We've been doing jumping jacks and laps in the hallways.
How are you feeling, though?
There's a bit of a bomb brewing. I'm not going to lie to you. There's a bomb going on. There's a bomb. Bomb, 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 bomb.
Hope your wife's home, your kid's crying,
she's
you get home, and you're just like, can't help. Sorry, see you later.
It's going to be a while, baby.
Be in the bathroom.
It's going to be a while. I need you to take this next hour-long shift. Before I get to my NFL stuff, I might kick that to the top of the hour.
Okay.
I will tickle the fancy of the happy Blazer fans out there, because there are some of them. I know. I understand that. And I'll ask this question from P1 Shane, good listener of the show. So mm-hmm. he gives a good question. I'm going to ask it on the air.
We're doing a mail sack on a Wednesday.
Real question that I don't think has been brought up.
Hmm.
If Denny keeps at this pace, are we viewing him as a number one? His production the last month has been insane.
Nope.
Not even entertaining the notion?
Nope.
No. Number two?
Two, three.
Who
two,
does
three.
Number two work for? Me, later. His
damn, boy, what'd you eat?
What'd you eat? Dude, I could choke down six of those
if we're
easily.
Talking, this
in the
is
month
just my
of
opinion.
March, hold on, let me give you his numbers. Month of March, 23.5 points per game.
Yep.
9.8 rebounds per game.
Mm-hmm.
Over 5 assists per game. He shot 45% from 3 and 51% from the floor.
Right. He has been great. He did a little bit of this in Washington. Bad team. He's taking the bulk of the shots.
Yeah.
He's playing a ton of minutes. He is playing extremely well. I don't know if you know this. Could be breaking news to some. Team-friendly contract. Needs to be said. Now, this is just my takeaway. Denny's a very good player.
Yes, he is.
But if you're saying, like, Portland creeps back in, let's say they hit the highest of the highs and everybody laughs in your hot dog eating face.
We got Cooper Flagg.
We beat the Hawks and we still got Cooper Flagg.
Just shove another hot dog in your mouth, dirt.
I don't eat the wiener.
And they take a step and they become one of those young, feisty teams that, hey, look at this ascension. Can Flagg take... In my mind, being a contender in the West, Denny is probably one of the best threes on a good team, a great team. That's just my two cents. I don't view him as a one.
Yeah.
I don't view him as a two.
I think the hard part about bad basketball teams...
Has nights where he could be a good two, but for the most part, a very
If you
elite,
want it to be a reliable night in and night out.
Very elite three. Number three.
Yeah, I think the hard part about bad teams late in the year is that, you know, we kind of saw this to a certain extent from Scoot, remember, in the last month and a half or so of the season last year, and it's like, oh my God, Scoot's turned a page. And it's like, well, half the night you're playing a G League team.
We needed anything at that point,
We
though.
Did, because the beginning
we
of this rookie year
this
was
from
bad.
Denny. We know Denny's good at basketball.
How many of these games, too, in the month of March, and I went through this list the other day, of just you're not facing the best available players on other teams on most of these nights anyways, let alone...
He faced Trae Young yesterday.
He did face Trae Young yesterday.
I mean, my God.
The point on minutes and shot production, and if you go back to February, his minutes per game was 26 minutes per game. In March, it went up to 36 minutes per game, rounding up 35.8.
Yeah.
His field goal percentage per game, or not percentage, but attempts per game, 9.9, so just shy of 10 in the month of February. It's just shy of 15 in the month of March. So he's taking 5 more shots per game, and he's averaging almost 10 more minutes per game than what he was a month ago.
He is in the 88th percentile in usage rate for this team. He's in the 79th percentile for points per shot attempt for this team. And he's in the 88th percentile for assist percentage for this team.
I mean, he's driving
their
the boat.
Offense.
He's the guy. This is why I've argued for 2 weeks you need to sit him down. He's driving the boat right now.
He's really good.
He's got to get him the hell out of there, man.
I don't view what I said as a
get
negative, by the
there.
Way. Like, you can... Maybe some people do view him as a one. I don't know who those people are. Maybe Shane is one of them, and that's okay.
I mean, we've gone through this with Anthony Simons for 3 years that I would hope we would have learned our lesson there, where it's like, dude, he's a good player. There's nobody saying he's a bad basketball player. It's the idea of that guy's not going to lead you to the promised land. He can be a good player on a good team. Mm. He's not a number one. He's not a number one option.
What do you think he is?
Denny Avdia, I would say he's a number three option.
Mm.
On nights, potentially swinging to a two, you know, one of those kind of situations where maybe they have nights where they trade off. I love his game. He's been an awesome fit. He's got a great contract. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but he's got a great contract.
Look at the West standings, and you go through just the real playoff teams, and you tell me what he would be on those teams.
Yeah, and where he would fit. How many teams would he be a number one on a Western Conference playoff team?
Well, none of them.
None of them.
He wouldn't be number one in OKC.
Nope. Denver,
Houston,
LA.
Denver, LA, no. Golden State, Minnesota, no. The Clippers.
No. None of them.
But
Sacramento?
Sacramento's not very different than us at this point. They're only 3 games ahead of us in the win column.
Slightly better.
My point is, but how does he fit on those teams? He's one of those, damn it.
Yeah.
They left Avdi open.
Yeah.
They doubled Ant Edwards. Damn it.
Somebody said it feels a lot like the Nurk fever moment. Like, I would give Denny more credit than that. I think he's got a better game than Nurk.
Yeah, but you remember what we were saying about Nurk fever.
I mean, that's what we do
thought
in the city.
He was a top three center in the league at that point.
We get a 2-week stretch out of Delano Banton. We want to build the guy a statue. That's who we are as a city. I do think Denny Avdia has a chance to have a bigger impact in this organization than Nurkic did.
Banton's usage rate is the same as Denny's, by the way. He's in the 88th percentile.
I'm going to cram a couple of more hot dogs down my gullet. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. We'll do Stat or Story coming up at 8:15. I want to start, though, in the National Football League, where one owner is just doing what one owner always does. We're still waiting on this guy. And are you ready for them to take this even more seriously? Loaded Final Hour. We'll start in the NFL next on The Fan.